Chapter 7. Another name by which he is sometimes called is Maitreya, meaning Lord of Light. After his return from the golden cloud, he journeyed to the palace of Kama at Kaipur, where he planned and built his strength against the day of the Yuga. A sage once said that one never sees the day of the Yuga, but only knows it when it is past. For it dawns like any other day and passes in the same wise, recapitulating the history of the world. He is sometimes called Maitreya, meaning Lord of Light.
The world is a fire of sacrifice, the sun its fuel, sunbeams its smoke, the day its flames, the points of the compass its cinders and sparks. In this fire, the gods offer faith as libation. Out of this offering, King Moon is born. Rain, O Gautama, is the fire, the year its fuel, the clouds its smoke, the lightning its flame, cinders, sparks. In this fire, the gods offer King Moon as libation. Out of this offering, the rain is born. The world, O Gautama, is the fire, the earth its fuel, fire its smoke, the night its flame, the moon its cinders, the stars its sparks. In this fire the gods offer rain as libation. Out of this offering food is produced. Man, O Gautama, is the fire, his open mouth its fuel, his breath its smoke, his speech its flame, his eye its cinders, his ear its sparks. In this fire, the gods offer food as libation. Out of this offering, the power of generation is born. Woman, O Gautama, is the fire. Her form its fuel, her hair its smoke, her organs its flame, her pleasures its cinders and its sparks. In this flame, the gods offer the power of generation as libation. Out of this offering, a man is born. He lives for so long as he is to live. When a man dies, he is carried to be offered in the fire. The fire becomes his fire, the fuel his fuel, the smoke his smoke, the flame his flame, the cinders his cinders, the sparks his sparks. In this fire, the gods offer the man as libation. Out of this offering, the man emerges in radiant splendor. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 6:2-9-14.
In a high blue palace of slender spires and filigreed gates, where the tang of sea salt spray and the crying of sea whites came across the bright air to season the senses with life and delight, Lord Niriti the Black spoke with the man who had been brought to him. "Sea Captain, what is your name?" he asked.
"Ovaga, Lord," answered the captain. "Why did you kill my crew and let me live?"
"Because I would question you, Captain Ovaga."
"Regarding what?"
"Many things. Things such as an old sea captain might know through his travels. How stands my control of the southern sea lanes?"
"Stronger than I thought, or you'd not have me here."
"Many others are afraid to venture out, are they not?"
"Yes."
Niriti moved to a window overlooking the sea. He turned his back upon his captive. After a time, he spoke again. "I hear there has been much scientific progress in the north since, oh, the Battle of Keenset."
"I too have heard this. Also, I know it to be true. I have seen a steam engine. The printing press is now a part of life. Dead slizzard legs are made to jump with galvanic currents. A better grade of steel is now being forged. The microscope and the telescope have been rediscovered."
Niriti turned back to him, and they studied one another. Niriti was a small man, with a twinkling eye, a facile smile, dark hair restrained by a silver band, an upturned nose and eyes the color of his palace. He wore black and lacked a suntan. Why do the gods of the city fail to stop this thing?
I feel it is because they are weakened, if that is what you want to hear, Lord. Since the disaster by the Vedra, they have been somewhat afraid to squelch the progress of mechanism with violence. It has also been said that there is internal strife in the city, between the demigods and what remains of their elders. Then there is the matter of the new religion. Men no longer fear heaven so much as they used to. They are more willing to defend themselves, and now that they are better equipped, the gods are less willing to face them.
Then Sam is winning. Across the years, he is beating them.
Yes, Renfrew. I feel this to be true.
Neriti glanced at the two guards who flanked Olvaga. Leave, he ordered. Then when they had gone, you know me?
Yes, Chaplain, for I am Jan Olveg, Captain of the Star of India.
Olveg. That seems moderately impossible.
True, nevertheless. I received this now ancient body the day Sam broke the Lords of Karma at Maharatha. I was there.
One of the first. And yes, a Christian.
Occasionally, when I run out of Hindi swear words.
Neriti placed a hand on his shoulder. Then your very being must ache at this blasphemy they have wrought.
I'm none too fond of them, nor they of me.
I dare say. But of Sam, he did the same thing, compounding this plurality of heresies, burying the true word even deeper.
A weapon, Renfrew, said Olveg, nothing more. I'm sure he didn't want to be a god any more than you or I.
Perhaps, but I wish he had chosen a different weapon. If he wins, their souls are still lost.
Olveg shrugged. I'm no theologian such as yourself.
But will you help me? Over the ages I have built up a mighty force. I have men and I have machines. You say our enemies are weakened. My soulless ones, born not of man or woman, they are without fear. I have sky gondolas, many. I can reach